You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
Hello, I'm Ella Vadrinska from Showtime, URN's specialist musical theatre show. And you're listening to our podcast, Spotlight On, where I'm keeping you up to date each week with all the theatrical events still going on in the world, even while theatres remain closed due to coronavirus. And would you believe we're coming up to the one-year anniversary of theatre shutting? It was Tuesday, the 17th of March, when the West End closed down. My friend was actually meant to be going to see Dear Evan Hansen that evening, and she was so excited because she'd managed to get an amazing ticket at an absolute bargain price. And then she got to the theatre and was turned away due to the decision to close, and just ended up wandering London forlornly, bless her. And actually, one of the ways I've been able to keep track of time passing during lockdown over the past year myself has been in relation to theatre stuff, because on the 14th of March, which is literally a year ago today as this episode comes out, it was the last time I was in a theatre. I went to the Hope Mill Theatre in Manchester to see Zorro the Musical, an absolute staple favourite here at Showtime. And while there was a sort of awareness of where things might be going, I don't think any of us in that room at that time, whether in the audience or cast or crew, none of us expected this to happen. Like, by that point last year, gatherings of over 100, I think it was, had just been banned. And I remember the team at the Hope Mill Theatre trying to move people's tickets around so they could get the audience numbers down to a safe point below that cutoff. So, like, there was some awareness of safety measures being put in place, but none of us could have predicted the way things have gone. And, you know, because it has now been exactly a year since I went to see a show in a theatre, and because we're just days away from the anniversary of theatres shutting across the country, I guess I just thought I'd use tonight's Spotlight On episode to talk about what the last year has been like. Because, I mean, it's no secret that the theatre industry has been one of the worst hit by COVID-19. Thousands of people across the world have been forced out of work, from performers to creatives to backstage crew to front of house staff and countless people in between. Like, I hate to use the word unprecedented, but theatres really have faced an entirely unprecedented threat to their livelihoods. And honestly, it would have been so easy to let things fall by the wayside, to accept that people couldn't go to the theatre and just kind of take a break from everything and hope by some miracle that things would eventually be okay and that all of those systems and productions and audiences would still be in place and available and, more importantly, viable at some point down the road. And yet, the phrase "the show must go on" has never been more applicable. We have watched week in, week out, from the very first day of lockdown, pretty much, we have seen the theatre community banding together like never before and just working tirelessly to make theatrical content available in new formats. I mean, it's been amazing to watch it develop. Like, the innovation we are getting from productions now that are being created and broadcast deliberately online versus the slightly more hapdash, shall we say, approach at the start of lockdown. Like, it's incredible that we have effectively got a whole new form of theatre out of this when you think about it. And one that, in all honesty, I don't know if people would have necessarily come up with without being forced into it by the pandemic. And while of course watching things online isn't in any way the same as the magic of being in a theatre with, you know, a full audience and an orchestra and watching something live, it is a damn sight more accessible. And that is something we need to keep in mind even when theatres do go back. I mean, I think it's relatively safe to say that for a lot of people, theatre had become something that, is seen at best as middle class, but more likely elite and even outdated or old-fashioned. And, you know, it's a fair point. Theatre tickets cost a lot of money, and that's on top of getting to the theatre in the first place and paying for travel or a hotel, you know, if you're going to London or something. Like, it really becomes an event by necessity, and while that does make the experience more special in the moment, it also makes it something that can realistically only be enjoyed by a comparatively privileged few. And yet, the lockdown and the closure of theatres have forced people in this industry to rethink how content is accessed, usually by making things available online, whether that's uploading a previously filmed or archived stage show, or whether it's creating something entirely new with live streaming in mind from the get-go. It has revolutionised theatre. You know, millions of people across the country were watching the National Theatre at Home weekly live streams in a way that just never would have been feasible before this. And yes, those shows were made available for free with an optional charity donation, which is something that couldn't last in the long run. But even now, a year on, when you're paying to see a show online, it's like, what, £10, £15, £20? That's still a fraction of the price that you'd be paying to actually go to the theatre. And you can watch it at home with subtitles, with the option to pause it if you have a coughing fit or want a snack or need a wee. Like, it is so much more accessible in so many ways and for so many people. And honestly, I think it's something that we need to keep going. I mean, I'm someone who is incredibly lucky, and I can say that I normally go to the theatre a lot, and it is a real privilege every single time. But even I have watched so much more theatre content this past year, stuff that I never would have had the chance to see normally otherwise. I'm not based in London, you know. If I want to see a show there, it becomes a real event that I have to travel down to and usually turn it into a sort of weekend getaway where I'll try to take in as many shows as possible to make the trip worth it in the first place. And I am aware how fortunate I am that I can afford to do things like that and support my hobby and my passion in that way. But even I'm not able to think, oh, there's a one-night-only concert with this performer that I really like, or, oh, this group are doing a limited 3-day run of this show that I've always wanted to see. It's just not viable or worth the hassle and money and time it would take to get myself to London to see this show as much as I may want to do it. Which is why I think online streaming has become such a wonderful tool, and I do hope that it continues to be used that way. Theatre in the UK has become such a London-centric thing, and while usually I'm okay with that, I do think the accessibility that we've seen this past year, which so ironically has come about because no one could go to the theatre at all, it's given us this taste of what we can have, and it'll be so upsetting to lose that when things go back to some form of normality in the future, whenever that may be. Like, I'm just thinking over the past year, and I've watched so much more theatre content than I usually would have. I mean, Eugenius was the first thing I saw. That was a show that I had missed completely when it was in London, but I'd always wanted to see it. And the team then uploaded a filmed archive production onto their Facebook page. It was actually the topic of the very first ever Spotlight On episode, which went out on the 22nd of March last year. So, you know, we're coming up to the birthday of that too. But then there were things like Curtains with Jason Manford, all of the Leave a Light On concerts from the Theatre Cafe, the Chicago Archive production of Fun Home, The Grinning Man, The Last 5 Years, Showstoppers, the improvised musical, Songs for a New World, Godspell, Before After, all of the Tonight at the London Coliseum concerts, Romantics Anonymous, The Theatre Channel, First Date, which I watched twice because it was so good, and now it's available on Broadway HD, The Space Between by David Hunter and Caroline Kay on YouTube, Amelia, which remains one of my favourite productions of the past year, and that's something I definitely would not have been able to see if it hadn't been available online. Bandstand, title of show, the Hope Mill Theatre's production of Rent, Treason the musical, and The Colour Purple, you know, just this very week gone. And, you know, that's not to mention the countless shows that were made available weekly on YouTube from the National Theatre and The Shows Must Go On. Things like Joseph and Cats and A Midsummer Night's Dream and Frankenstein and One Man, Two Governors and Treasure Island and Hedy Feather and The Wind in the Willows, which hands down has become such a favourite, even though I knew nothing about it beforehand. And, like, that's not even everything. That's just the stuff that I can come up with in this moment off the top of my head. Do you see how incredible it is that that kind of content has been made available? That I, as someone outside of the London-centric theatre bubble, have been able to watch shows like this for the first time from the comfort of my own home for a fraction of the price it would usually cost me, or even, you know, completely free in some places, all without the hassle of actually having to get to a proper theatre first. Theatre has been more accessible this past year than it ever has been while theatres were actually open. And no, it's not a replacement. It's not. I get that. But I do hope beyond hope that this is something that is kept in mind in the future. As much as I miss being at the theatre, and I do, I desperately miss it more than I can say, we can't lose what we have right now, what we have created in this time. We can't go back to the theatre being this elite thing for the middle classes only. Not when we've all had a taste of what it can be and what it should be and what theatre I think has always tried to be but has maybe grown out of it or sort of lost its way just because of the way the industry works. This past year has shown that there are conversations that need to be had going forward, ideas that need to be shared so that theatre can keep thriving. Because it has. It has kept thriving, even in the darkest, most difficult of times. As I said earlier, it would have been so easy to put everything on pause and let it fall by the wayside. And with hindsight, I dread to think what would have happened to this industry if that had happened, if we had just put things on pause. But instead, theatre is still alive, it is still thriving, and it has proved more than anything that whatever you throw at it, in the face of whatever adversity there may be, the show does always go on, and long may it continue. So, on that note, I will end things there for now. Thank you for listening to my ramblings this episode. I will say that a lot of the shows and productions I mentioned earlier are still available to watch, so you can either go back through the Spotlight On playlist and listen back to find out more about such shows. I will also, however, put a few links in the post here to some of my favourite things that you can still watch. But other than that, I'll be back again next Sunday. First of all, with the last live showtime of this term, which you can catch from 6 p.m. over on urn1350.net. And then I'll be right here straight after that at 7 p.m. next Sunday with another Spotlight On to let you know exactly what you should be watching from the world of virtual theatre. Because, as we say, the showtime must go on. Until then, good night.
You're listening to Showtime
on URN.